important. We have this gas implant in it, and this aluminum will be then rolled up and brought back for analysis back on Earth for the abundances of these elements, these rare gases like argon, xenon, krypton, and so on, and also the isotopic composition. This will give us some very interesting geophysical and geochemical data.
This is the first time that this sort of information could possibly be brought back to Earth.
Well, there is an indirect way of getting this sort of thing via meteorites, which also, of course, spend a lot of time in space and do collect some of the solar wind. But there are complications in the meteorites because they also contain these primitive gases from their original evolution. So we want to know what component of the solar wind is in terms of the rare gases. This is a very important experiment geochemically.
Over the last minute or so, the astronauts have been fairly stationary, standing quite close to the module. They've now moved away a little bit towards the camera.
I'll have to extend that one.
They appear to be executing some...
I think this is the solar wind experiment going out now.
Yes, it could be.
It's on a staff, so that might be a... sticking into the moon's surface at a slight angle,
Columbia,
leading backwards.
Columbia, this is Houston, AOS, over. Houston, AOS, over.
Michael Collins, back in contact. This will be the first news to him of the success of the moonwalk. He's been behind the moon since just before Neil Armstrong left the LEM.
Neil Armstrong's been on the lunar surface now almost 45 minutes.
Another thing they could be deploying at the moment is the flag of the United States of America, held up by a wire to make it appear as though it is in fact flying in the breeze, which does not exist on the moon.
The solar breeze.
Columbia, this is Houston reading you loud and clear, over.
Yeah, this is Houston reading. Yeah, reading you loud and clear, how's it going?
Roger, the EVA is progressing beautifully. I believe they're setting up the flag now.
That confirms what they thought they might be doing.
I guess you're about the only person around that doesn't have TV coverage of the scene.
That's
all right,
I don't mind a bit.
Yes, the flag of the United States of America.
Oh, it's beautiful, Mike, it really is.
Displayed quite a large flag. It's about 3 feet
by 2 feet.
Yes, indeed. They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the limit.
Beautiful, just beautiful.
A jab, and it's into the lunar surface. Just like going to dry, soft soil in the Australian outback.
They're now stepping back to have a look at it.
Maybe they'll take a picture of each other beside. One for the album.
Did you pull that in, Paul Woman? Made that in, this one?
Just straightening up the flag now.
It won't go up. Okay.
A little trouble in getting the flag in the right position. There might be some doubt as to whether the flag will remain up when the ascent stage lifts off the moon's surface, because it's very close to the lunar module. Only a few feet away.
But we'll never know.
No, we'll never know until man gets down for the second time and walks over to have a look. Well, the lunar walk is proceeding extremely well, very smoothly and very confidently. One by one, the allotted tasks of the astronauts are being completed successfully.
The flag is now perfectly stationary. Standing well out from the start, Just one or two final adjustments. Have you worked out which is which of the two astronauts, Peter?
No, they look absolutely identical here, and until they identify themselves by voice, it's difficult to tell at this moment. They got a little bit mixed up in milling around the flag of their country. It is a proud moment for them.
Now and again as they walk, you can see the slap of the dust as they kick it up, but it falls down so quickly in the vacuum that it's down again. Twice I saw them kick some, and it just slapped down again.
Neil, this is Houston, radio check, over.
Hi, Roger, Houston, loud and clear.
Roger,
loud and clear, Houston.
Roger, Buzz.
Well, it looks as though the astronauts have now completed their official duties. They've unveiled the plaque on the leg of the lunar module, which will remain behind, announcing for all later moon travellers that they had arrived. One interesting point is that there's no actual date on the plaque itself. It just says July 1969, having allowed for contingencies that there may have been delay, or they may have got down sooner than anticipated. Of course, the date at which they began to walk on the moon's surface is different in different parts of the world.
I'd like to evaluate the various cases that a person can traveling on the moon's surface. I believe I'm out of your field of view. Is that right now, Houston?
That's affirmative, Buzz.
They've been moving around at quite a fast pace. I was just sort of trying to get a...
You're out of field of view now.
Two.
You have to be
a long walk just now.
Careful to keep track of where the center of mass is.
One, two, three, four, five. That sort of pace.
Make sure that you've got your feet underneath you.
Now trying a very bouncy walk, leaping around.
One, two, three, four.
Two or three, or maybe four easy phases can bring you to a fairly smooth stop. Direction. Like a football player, you just...
Turning left, moving right on that left foot.
Cut a little bit.
It says moving like a football player. Which one is this now moving around?
I think it's all good.
Yes. Trying out a few moon gymnastics.
Hop. Doesn't work, but it seems though your forward ability is not quite as good.
Both feet down together and hop.
In the conventional, more conventional,
but
very much like a kangaroo, isn't it? From a distance.
Yes, perhaps the distance they move relative to their strength is about the same as a kangaroo can do.
One that I'm using now.
It's reminiscent of Edward Lear. They dined on mince and slices and quince, which they ate with a runcible spoon. And hand in hand on the edge of the sand, they danced by the light of the moon.
This may be a function of the spoon.
Thank you, Dr. Earl Hacker.
Got a lot of the earth.
Lack of gravity forces.
By the light of the sun. Well, in the light of the moon, they're getting reflections.
The astronaut's getting more and more accustomed to moving on.
This is Houston. Can we get both of you on the camera for a minute, please?
And this is an essential task because the sort of limits to which man can adapt himself to the lunar environment okay, will determine just how much he can explore. The endurance during these maneuvers. I don't think they're just dancing around for fun. These have been exercises.
He's in his office now and would like to say a few words to you, over.
These exercises determined, especially for measuring the biomedical data.
That would be an honor. Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
President Nixon.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm Dr.
talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you see. For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with the in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to Earth.
President Nixon, talking to the astronauts.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but men of peace of all nations, men with interest and a curiosity, and men with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
Look forward to that very much, sir.
That certainly was the
Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Yes, Michael points out the longest telephone call in history, half a million miles for the return journey, 250,000 miles to get in one direction. President Nixon spoke to the astronauts using a hand receiver just as one would at home.
Roger, P-22, landmark ID, LEM, T1-110-2656. T2-110-3206.